to know one thing. This is not going to be X-rated. That is not why they're sending the kids out. Woo! Sounded like that, didn't it? No, sir, we got something here tonight for each and everybody here, each and every person here. And I'm going to tell you what, I hope everybody gets as much out of this as I got just looking it up. It was some good stuff. I'm going to tell you what, it is good tonight. Oh, no. I'm getting all these blank faces, all these blank looks, all these folks saying, well, I don't know if it is or not. Well, let's just find out. Let's get the word out tonight. Amen. Amen. Boy, it looks empty after all them youngins get out, doesn't it? Woo. But man, someday we're going to have to be able to preach to them. I'm going to have to learn to do that because I want to keep the youngins in there. I want you to get your Bibles out and turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles and chapter 25, if you will. Appreciate you, Brother Wesley. Everything you've done here tonight, what he was trying to tell you from the back, he was trying to say, go like this. Brother Wesley was going like this. Need to go like this. So it sounds out there. Amen. Come on. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25 and verse 2. You thought I didn't know where I was at, didn't you? Fooled you, everyone. I tell you what, it's hot back here. It got so hot, man. Oh, man, I tell you, it got so hot I thought I was going to melt. Then I realized I wasn't sugar. Somebody said that one day to me. They wanted me to take another load up to somewhere. And I said, man, I don't want to take that load up there. It's raining. I said, go ahead, you won't melt. You ain't sugar. I said, okay, I'll go. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege to be able to come before you. And right now, God, we ask you to anoint your word somehow, oh God, that it doesn't return to you void. We know that it won't, that you've got something in here for each and every person here tonight, oh God. And if we just mind your will and do what you ask us to do, then it'll come out just the way you want it to. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't come out the way we expect, you know. We get all fired up and studying it, and you may be seated. We get all fired up and studying, and we think, boy, we got something tonight. Man, place is going to be on fire. They're going to be jumping. They're going to be shouting. We get over here, and we sound like this. Oh, my, and we're going to get the word out to everybody, and then nobody gets jumping, and nobody gets shouting, and we go away feeling sorry for ourselves. I don't feel sorry for myself no more. I used to. Yeah, I used to do that. I used to, I used to go away feeling sorry for myself most of the time. Every once in a while, they come out right. But most of the time, I go away feeling sorry for myself. And then Brother Grissom told me one day, you got to quit that. So you got to quit that. He said, are you anointed to preach? I said, yes, sir, I believe I am. He said, are you, aren't you? I am. He said, well, that's God's word, not yours. God will do what he wants to with it. You just prepare yourself. Well, sometimes, maybe I'm not quite as prepared as I should be. But I try to be. And you know what? I can't take credit for it, so I'm not going to take the blame for it. It's God's word. I don't take the blame for it no more. Praise the Lord. Isn't he good to us?
Amen.
Do you have a perfect heart? Woo! Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign there in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, however, not with a perfect heart. That's what I want to talk to you about. How is your heart? How is your heart? Now, Amaziah wanted to do right. He really did sometimes. He wanted to do right sometimes. And the rest of the time, Amaziah wanted to do what Amaziah wanted to do. And that's what Amaziah did. what Amaziah wanted to do. That's why he didn't have a perfect heart. You know, sometimes we do that. Anybody here do that? You're not guilty of that. Oh, every one of them's honest. Ooh, I want to do right. The fellow went to the judge one day. He's standing there before the judge. The judge said, "Why did you do 82 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone?" He said, "Judge, I tried to do right." He said, "I really did." He said, "I wanted to do 50 miles an hour in that 50 mile an hour speed zone, but man, that car was fast. It was loud, and it sounded good, and I just had to step on it." He said, "I really wanted to. That wasn't me. That just wasn't me." He said, "Yana, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a break then. I'm just going to put the flesh in jail. Spirit can go." All right now. He wanted to do right, but he didn't do right like he ought to have done, and the judge put him in jail anyhow. I want to say, how is your heart today? We were out doing soul patrol one time. We were a bunch of young men. That is what we called it. But on Saturdays, we'd go out all over the city of Fairbanks. And well, it wasn't that far to go. You had one street, two street, three street, four. And that's far as you went. Yeah, you walk up and down those streets. That's what we call them. And we didn't call them First, Second, Third Avenue. We call them one street, two street, three street, and four. That's what we call them. When we're walking up and down the streets, you know, we're out there on soul patrol, and I'm with this other young fella. And fella come walking out of the bar room, or of the liquor store. He got him a case up on his shoulder, and I mean, he's a pretty tall fella. He got this case stuck up there with some long neck, you know. He's walking out. He stopped to talk to us for a minute. He said, "What you fella doing?" I said, "Well, we're on soul patrol. We're just witnessing people, trying to get people to come to church with us in the morning. And we call it soul patrol." I said, "Man, I'm proud of you." He said, "That's a good thing. It's good to see other Christians out here doing the work." And I said, "Well, other Christians?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian too. I like to see other Christians out here doing the work of the Lord." Man, he was proud of being a Christian. Come right out of there. I can't say nothing. I don't know. Maybe he was. I don't know what he was picking up that beer for, but it was good, I guess. That's what he wanted. But he wanted to do right sometimes, didn't he? While we were standing there talking, I had to start easing away from him. I'm like, "Oh boy." So this fella I was with, he kept talking to him. And I look around, I look across the street, and here's a fella across the street just standing there on the corner. And I walk kitty cat. You know, there wasn't a lot of traffic there. Wasn't a lot of traffic there that time of night, so you could just walk out in the street, do what you wanted. There wasn't a lot of traffic in Fairbanks. I mean, what you going to do with a car up there? Where are you going to go? A guy robbed a bank in Juneau one time and got in his getaway car. Where are you going to go? There ain't nothing but two ways out of Juneau, by boat or by air. He's driving a getaway car. He robbed a bank. It didn't take long to catch him. Juneau's an island. That's the state capital. It's an island. Oh, well. That's all right. Fella didn't have much sense. But there wasn't many cars out there, so I could step right out in the street and walk over. And I'm walk up to this fella, and I didn't know what to say. He's just standing there like this. And I walked up. Man, I didn't know if I should disturb him or not, and I still didn't know what to say. I walked up, and I just started opening my mouth. I said, "Sir? Sir?" He looked up, and I said, "How are things between you and the Lord?" He said, "You know, I was just thinking that. I was just now thinking that very thing." We began to talk and pray. He never did come to church, but at least I got to pray with him right there. And you know, sometimes we just be able to follow the leading of the Lord and do the things that are right. How pure is your heart? How pure is your heart? You know, Amaziah wasn't really all that good a guy. He did things that was right in the sight of the Lord when he wanted to. But he didn't do it with a perfect heart. Is your heart perfect today? Is my heart perfect today? Can we have a perfect heart? Ooh, I don't know. Now, we want to do right sometimes, don't we? Yeah, I heard that. We want to do right sometimes. Somebody, yeah, sometimes I do. I want to do right sometimes. Somebody said, "Brother Fry, why don't you want to do right all the time?" I said, "Well, I think I do. And the next thing you know, I get to thinking on something else. Oh, I get thinking on something I shouldn't be thinking on. And all of a sudden, I'm doing something I hadn't ought to be doing. Thinking about something I hadn't ought to be thinking about. Y'all don't do that. I know that. And I just want to let you know that there are people like me out there. And we don't always do right. I'm going to tell you something. David didn't always do right, but he had a heart. Boy, did he have a heart. Oh, King David had a heart. I'm talking about, God said, David is a man after my own heart. Did God have a pure heart?
Amen.
That's right. Can we say anything bad about God's heart? No, 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 no. If we do, we're wrong. If David is a man after God's own heart, woo. David didn't always do right, but he knew what to do when he didn't. Didn't he? He knew exactly what to do. Now, God told Saul to destroy Amalek. When he said Amalek, he was talking about all of it. He said, destroy it all. Now we think about war now in terms of bombs, planes flying over, troops, you know, just trudging along, and maybe a few tanks shooting things, missiles flying, going hundreds of miles, maybe even thousands of miles. We think of in terms like that when we think of war today, but in those days, when it came, it was right up and close. If you wanted to kill somebody, you had to get up close to them. You hit them in the head with a rock. You might have thrust a spear through their side. You might have chopped into the head with an axe or something. But I'm saying you had to get up close. And that took a lot of killing to get rid of all them Amalekites. And you know, you wonder, say, God, well, that's awful harsh. That's an awful harsh thing because God told Saul to destroy it all. Men, women, children, I'm talking about dogs and cats, cows and sheep, everything. Not one living thing was supposed to be left. And he was to tear the walls down and burn the city. And he almost obeyed God. He almost did. He killed a lot of them, he did. Well, yeah, he did. And he saved the king, kept some of the gold. He was supposed to burn the gold, supposed to burn the garments. Not even bring any spare gold. You know, I'm going to tell you what. Gold was worth a lot in those days. It's worth a lot today if you got some. It's hard to come by now. Seemed like it's easier to come by back then. All you had to do was kill somebody and take theirs. But today you can't do that. Now, well, people do it, but you're not supposed to. It's the wrong thing to do. It really is. You're not supposed to do that no more. But clothes were even more precious. Woven clothes in those days were more precious than gold. It took a while to make a garment that would cover a person. And I'm going to tell you, it took a while to make it. And if you want some color to it, it took even longer. I'm talking about it was, man, you couldn't go to JCPenney and buy you a shirt. You couldn't do it. They didn't have one. JCPenney was closed down. And go over to Sears and looking for something to wear, you couldn't find it. In those days, you had to wait till somebody made you a coat. And it took a while to make you a coat. A long time. Man. So, when God told him to destroy everything, them people, he told him, don't even bring any garments back. Burn it all. That was tough on them. Them guys went over there, started smashing people, poking their eyes out, and kicking them in the face. You don't think they did that? Oh, yeah, they did. How are we going to do it? They had to kill them somehow. So they're going around killing people, and that sounds bad, doesn't it? It's not nice for us to say that way, but I'm going to tell you that's what was happening in that day. That was what was happening right there. Saul was told to go get rid of all of them, and he almost obeyed God. Instead, he brought back the king. He brought back some livestock, brought back a bunch of gold. He even brought back some clothes. He brought back some stuff he hadn't ought to brought back. He wasn't supposed to bring anything back. He almost obeyed God. You know what Brother Grissom was always saying? Sometimes we need an operation to get our opinion out. Saul had an opinion of himself that he knew a lot more than God. He wanted to obey God sometimes. He wanted to do right sometimes. Well, when it came to what Saul wanted to do what Saul wanted to do. He brought back that gold and that stuff. I'm going to tell you what, God got a little angry, didn't he? You remember that? Remember reading about that? Anybody remember hearing about that? God got angry at Saul. He got so angry, he took the kingdom away from him. The whole king said, you know what? You'll never have a son on this throne. Never. Forever. The tribe of Benjamin lost the chance. The whole tribe did. I'm going to tell you, Saul, he wanted to do right sometimes. He almost obeyed God. He didn't destroy him. He didn't destroy him completely. He just wouldn't do right. Brother Wesley, would you get me Proverbs 30 and verse 12? And you see, that's why I had Brother Wesley stay up here. Hey, I was trying to get him to use a microphone a while ago. I don't know if he can do that. Does this work? That work? Oh, he did bring one. All right, he's a good man. I'm glad he brought one. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12.
There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness.
That sounds like a generation you might know. Somebody you might know of. A generation that is pure in their own eyes. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their own filthiness. You know, sometimes we think everything's all right. Amaziah thought everything was all right. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a pure heart. But he was pure in his own eyes. There's people today, right now, they're pure in their own eyes. They tell you, it's all right. I'll serve God my way. You serve God your way and everything's going to be fine. That's a lie. It's a lie. It just is. If you don't do it the Bible way, everything ain't going to be fine. I'm going to tell you, when they talk about in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the Lord comes, takes us away, it's just that fast. You're not going to have time to change your mind. There ain't no second bus, man. When it comes and it's over. You're not getting all these extra chances. Oh, if you're wrong, you bet, man, I'm going to tell you what, you just lose. If you're right in your own eyes, if people want to be pure, they think they're pure. Amaziah thought he was pure. He thought, but he didn't serve God with a pure heart. He just couldn't do it. And you know, that sounds like a generation we might know of. I mean, they're just not who they think they are. And get Romans 1, 21 through 22, if you will. And these people just don't do what they ought to do. Sometimes they act just like me. Sometimes they act just the way I do. Do you know what? How many times a day do y'all have to repent? Y'all don't have to do that. I shouldn't even ask that silly question. I'm going to tell you what, I have to get on my knees. I have to ask God often. I try not to. I don't want to say to someone something that I have to take back, because I'm going to tell you what, it's hard to get it back. You hurt somebody beyond repair when you say something you have to take back. If you say something to someone that you have to apologize for, you've hurt them way more than you can ever know. Man told me one time, "Ooh, I used to look up to this man." I didn't after this day. I used to look up to him. I thought, man, he's smart. You know, he tries to serve the Lord the best he can. He's a good Christian. He's smart. Had a good job. He's a hard-working man. Everything about him, I loved everything about him. And I basically attached myself to him because I wanted to be like him. And you know what he did? One day he came to me and he looked me in the eye and said, "Brother Fry, I didn't used to like you." What's not to like? I'm Brother Fry. You know, everybody likes me, right? I didn't used to like you. But now that I got to know you a little better, I like you a little better. That broke my heart. Oh, man, I went home and cried. I'm a grown man. I went home and cried over that. Oh, that broke my heart. Somebody, "Now I know you love me, don't you?" She likes me. I know my wife likes me. My mama used to like me. Lord help us. No, she still would if she was still here. I promise you, she would. But there wasn't a whole lot of them. But yeah, that broke my heart. You can't say something to somebody without hurting them. If it's something you got to apologize for later. If you get grouchy one day and you get up out of bed all grouchy and you take it out on somebody that's trying to be nice to you or just trying to talk to you, or maybe they're a little rude to you and you take it out on them, you don't need to do that. If they're going to be rude to us, so what? What's a little rudeness? We can smile and walk away. We can live through that. Man, Jesus was whooped with a cat of nine tails. I mean, it took the flesh right off his back. They spit on him. They called him names. They called him a blasphemer when he was walking around. They called him a blasphemer. They called him a liar. Didn't hear him getting up in their face about it. Well, okay, one time you did. One time you did. I don't know. I wasn't with him. I know some of them disciples were with him all the time. But I wasn't with him, so I don't know exactly what he did all the time. But I know one time he did tell them, you're a bunch of vipers. You're a bunch of whited sepulchers. Man, y'all stank on the inside. He said, you just ain't clean. You clean on the outside, but the inside no good. He got mad at him once. Started flipping money tables over and chasing doves and things out and chasing sheep out of the temple. And he made him a whip. Now he sat down and made a whip. He took time to make this whip and braid it together. He was thinking about this. It wasn't instantaneous. He didn't just blow his stack and go after him. It's a good thing for them he didn't. Imagine what would happen then. Well, he sat down and took the time to braid the whip and then went in and started whooping on them. And do you know not one of them fought back? Woo, they knew he was right. He got out whipping on them, beating them with that whip and snapping at them. Man, he chased them all out of the temple and said, you get out of here, den of thieves. Turn the house of God into den of thieves. Get out! And they got. Well, he didn't have to apologize for that. He was right. Friends, if we say something to somebody that we've got to apologize for, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I'll come back and apologize to you. You'll never look at me the same way again. You'll never feel good about me again the way you did before, if you ever did feel good about me. Some people don't. I'm sorry, I just do the best I can. But we don't want to be like that, do we? We don't want to be like, read that for me, Brother Wesley. Tell me what they were like.
Because although they knew God...
They knew Him. They knew God. These people knew God.
They did not glorify Him as God.
They glorified Him not as God.
Nor were thankful, but became futile in
their
thoughts.
Wait just a minute. Wait. They weren't thankful. They knew God, and they didn't glorify Him, and they weren't even thankful. Go on, brother.
Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools.
What kind of fools were these? What kind of fools were these? Because that when they knew God, they actually knew God. They knew Him. And they glorified Him not as God. They didn't want nothing to do with Him as God. Hey, just stay away from us. We don't want what you got for us. We got something better. We know better. We're not even going to be thankful for the things you do for us. Man, we're not going to be. And they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. Man. You know anybody like that today? Yeah. I should be careful what you say, Brother Fry. Be careful. I know a man spent 16 years in seminary, and he's proud of it. I like the man. I've never spoken ill to him. I love him. He lets me in his pulpit. I preach in his pulpit all the time. He spent 16 years in seminary. And still, though he believes in the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and with the evidence of speaking in tongues, he still does not believe in one God the way we do. I can't get him to see it. 16 years in seminary. How can you not see that they're not three? Who do you pray to? Well, when I break my arm, I pray to Jesus. If I break my foot, I pray to God, the Father. If I break... Well, come on now, get serious about this. Who are you going to pray to? There's one God. There's one God. Can't change the truth of God into the lie. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. Did you know he said, no man can come to the Father but by me. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Isn't that what he said?
Enough.
How many gods is there?
One.
That's right, there's one God. I'm thankful to know that one God. I'm thankful for that tonight. I want to be wise. I want to serve Him with a pure heart. Man, they weren't even thankful to that God. They knew Him. And they didn't glorify Him. And they weren't thankful. They knew Him. How can you know God and not be thankful for who He is, for what He's done? Oh, man. Sometimes we just don't realize what all we have to be thankful for. Get for me Mark chapter 10. See, you notice that why I kept him up here? He'll read for me. And he's got a good voice, doesn't he? You can hear him well. Mark chapter 10. You, when you get there, go to verse 28 and start reading. Oh, Lordy. I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes we just don't know what all we got to be thankful for. And we got a lot to be thankful for. You thought, well, I bet you thought that. Well, did you think, well? You said, Brother Fry going to be preaching tonight. Well, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get anything. No, praise the Lord. I bet you thought we were going to have a message about Thanksgiving tonight, didn't you? Why? Because it's the day before Thanksgiving, huh? I want to know how pure your heart is. I want to know how pure my heart is. See, God knows. He knows your heart. He knows mine. He knows when we serve Him with a pure heart. He does. Start reading, Brother Wesley, at verse 28, Mark chapter 10.
Then Peter began to say to him,
mm-hmm.
See, we have left all,
all
and followed you.
Everybody. Come on.
So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's.
Yeah. Come on.
Who shall not receive a hundredfold?
A hundredfold. When?
In this time.
This time. Right now in this life. Come on.
Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands.
Hold up. Hold up. I'm going to receive 100 brothers. Woo! Lord, I couldn't stand the two I had. Oh, Lord, I'm not sure I can stand all these blessings. All right, go on. Tell me about some more of these blessings.
All right, so mothers and children and lands.
Uh-huh.
But with persecution.
Oh, yeah, it's a promise. I want some of that, Lord. Give me some of them blessings. Give me the persecutions, Lord. How many people said that? Has anybody here asked for persecution yet? Woo! I guarantee not a single one has. He said, if you, it don't matter how much you leave, you don't receive it if you leave it to follow me and the gospel, you don't receive it 100-fold in this life with persecution. With persecution. How many people jumped up and said, I want some of that? Oh, buddy, I'm going to tell you, you got it coming. We're going to receive it just that way. Now, in this life. But what are we getting? We got more.
And in this age to come, eternal life.
That's right. Eternal life. Ain't nothing like eternal life. I can't explain it to you. I can't tell you what it's like. I can't tell you how it's going to be. People tell me, I've read books about how some people have saw it, but they went over and they came back. And this one went and that one came back. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I know of one man that did actually, I don't know, I know. Did you die, brother? All right. I know. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know if it's a vision. I don't know if I was dreaming. I don't know if I was sleeping. But I know I was on the bridge that Jesus had built for me. And he sent me back. I knew I was dying. I knew that without a shadow of a doubt. And I was concerned about it because I didn't get to say goodbye to my wife. But you know what? Once I started on that bridge, started moving across, I'm going to tell you, and I started feeling all these bubbling waters talking to me, I'm going to tell you something. It didn't bother me. I didn't worry about my wife no more. Mm-mm. I said, she was on her own then. She had Jesus. She had enough. And I'm going to tell you what, she didn't need me. I was ready to go. And these bubbling waters started talking to me. You got to go back and tell folks about this. So, didn't bother me. I just turned around and headed back. And next thing I know, she's standing over me, touching me. She was 1,000 miles away the night before. Hey, well, 860 miles. The night before. And here she is the next day. Reached over and touched me. I was out for a while. I don't know what was going on, but I was happy when I was out, and I'm happy that I'm back. You know what? Because God gave me something. I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
Is that all of it, brother?
There's a whole bunch more.
No, stop. Stop. If you got to 30, just stop. All right, verse 8. That just stop right there. I'm going to tell you what. God has got things for us, 100-fold now, with persecutions. Do you want some of that persecution? Oh, I didn't hear anybody volunteer. Woo! You're going to get some. You're going to have some. Man, right now at the job I'm at, I find favor right now. And it's just the Lord that has brought favor there. It's not much of a job. But I thank the Lord for it every day. Sometimes I get unthankful. But I'm going to quit this job and go get me another. But you know, then I get to think, oh Lord, you gave me this job. Amen. When nobody else would hire me. When I was so sick, I could barely walk. I went to work, I could barely walk. I could barely climb in and out of that truck. They knew it. They said, take your time. If you get too weak, you get too sick, stop. You want to stop there? Want somebody to come and get you? We'll come and get you. You want to stop here and rest? Stop here and rest. Don't overwork yourself. Lord gave me that job. I found favor there. I was at a job one time. There was no favor. I'm talking about these people. I was in Fairbanks, and we were sent out, me and another guy were sent out to do some repair work on some mobile homes. And one of the ladies that was living in one of the mobile homes we were working on, she got talking to me. She wanted to talk about the Lord. Well, we started talking about the Lord. It scared this fella back so bad. And when he got back to the shop, he went and complained. And I mean, he went nuts on him. He said, well, I don't want to hear that kind of garbage. Next thing you know, I got fired for that.
Wow.
That lady asked me some questions. We got to talking. I got fired for it. I didn't have favor there. Man, I'm going to tell you, some people persecute you over the word of the Lord. They will. Brother, get for me 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, if you would. 1 Thessalonians. We're getting close to the end. Not quite to the end yet. We got a few minutes left. Oh. Now, you know what Jesus was doing there in Mark? He was explaining to his disciples that what you gain is way more than what you lose. And I suppose it is. But just know that if you're a child of God, people are going to persecute you. It's going to happen. Be ready for it. Now, hear this. Are you there, brother?
Yes, sir.
Read it. 5:18.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Yes, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Persecutions. Whoo! Man, you know, the disciples thanked the Lord because they were counted worthy to suffer persecutions for His sake. He said, don't think it strange that they persecute you. They did me. Don't think it strange that they hate you. They hated me first. Think about it. The things they did to our Savior, even before He went to Calvary. even before he went to Calvary, when he was in his ministry, the things that, I mean, they chunk rocks and big rocks, they tried to kill him with rocks. Who he told them, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up some rocks, man, and they started chunking them at him, and they couldn't see him nowhere. He's standing right there. Where'd he go? He walked right by them. They never saw him walk by. They were going to rush him, push him off a cliff. He walked right by them. Man, I'm going to tell you what, them people didn't like Jesus. They didn't like who he claimed who he was. He told them, he said, look here, I am your Messiah. Oh, no, you're not. You're Joseph and Mary's son. We know who you are. You ain't nobody but a carpenter. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Boy, did they get mad. They knew what he was saying. He said, I'm God. I'm the one you need to worship. I'm here. Man, think about it. You know, when Brother Grissom was talking earlier in the week, Jesus raised three people from the dead and then raised himself. Nobody had ever done that. Okay. All right. Elisha did. Elisha did it once. Twice, because he threw a dead man on his bones. And that dead man jumped up and took off. But, you know, in this day that Jesus was on earth, nobody else could even think of doing that. And what he had done was something. Whew. How hard is it to give thanks in adversity? You ever give thanks in adversity? Here's Brother Fry. Oh, Lord. Why is it so hard to bless me? Already there's a problem. Brother Fry's crying, complaining. Why can't I get a blessing? Oh, God, I always pay my tithes. I never short you on my tithes. Never, ever, ever. Oh, God, why can't I get a blessing? You know, why I got to live like this? Why is it such a struggle to make ends meet? Do you know I prayed that prayer? 2 weeks later, I was laying dying in my truck, and the Lord picked me up off my deathbed. He said, what do you want, money or this? What do you want? I had blessing I couldn't contain. You know, I'm telling you what. I learned to quit complaining. Be thankful for what you got. Be thankful. Be thankful in where you're at. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In all things, give thanks. Give thanks when you're running short. Give thanks when you're out of food. Give thanks. What's all hard to give thanks when you're out of food? I don't want to lose my shape. Well, Brother Good say, round is a shape. Come on, that's shape. Come on. Give thanks in everything. It was hard for me to learn that. And sometimes still, Brother Fry forgets a little bit, and he doesn't serve him with a pure heart. He starts to complain. I don't know what I did with that hanky, but I sure wish I could find it. Man. Oh, there it is. Won't somebody tell me? Y'all ain't right. Y'all picking on me. I want to tell you what. I learned to give thanks in all things. But sometimes I still don't do it. You know what? That's what I was talking about a while ago when I said, you know, Brother Fry, I got to repent quite often. Because sometimes I forget to give thanks. Sometimes I'm unthankful. You know, I knew I had a hanky. I just wasn't thankful enough to know where it was. Well, I can't help myself sometimes. It just happens that way, doesn't it? Unless, of course, it's not hard if we've got a pure heart. Uh-oh. Go back to that pure heart business. What are we going to do with that? Woo! You can't have a pure heart if you retain your stinking thinking. You ever hear that before, stinking thinking? Now, some of you might know exactly where that came from. That came from AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, Brother Fry was a member there one time. And, boy, you know what the people talk about. We get in there and say, oh, I'm going to make it. As long as my higher power gets a hold of me and just takes care of me, we couldn't talk about God. We just couldn't talk about God. One time I was leading for the whole month, all the meetings for the whole month in that particular section. And I tried talking about the higher power a couple of times. I couldn't do it. One day I come in there with my Bible. Oh, I went to preaching about the higher power, who that higher power was. And you know, them people started changing. Everybody started talking about God then. For the next 6 months, you didn't hear nothing about no higher power. You heard about God. You know, that's that stinking thinking, man. You can't think about God. Sometimes we don't we retain that, and then we can't have a pure heart. You can't have a pure heart if you got stinking thinking. Give me Proverbs 16 and verse 3, if you will. Well, I want to hear this. Man, I want to hear this. I want to know how I'm going to get to a pure heart. Tell me today how I'm going to get to a pure heart, brother. Read that.
Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established.
Commit your works to... Man, you know what? Sometimes I get the thing, I've got all that stinking thinking still because not all my works are committed to the Lord. Why is that, brother? Well, you know, I had to go get me a motorcycle. I had to have a motorcycle. I did. I just had to have one so I could go riding. You know what? It ain't no fun to ride. It hurts. It's one. No, I'm serious. It hurts. That thing ain't got no shock absorbers on it. And it's got a little bitty old seat. And I was riding it to work one day, and I hit this same bump every time I drove it to work. And I ain't rode since. That was the last time I am not getting back on this thing like this. It hurts. I didn't need it no more. It's still sitting up there at the house. I'll ride it again. I'm sure I will. I'll forget how bad it hurts. But my works weren't committed to God. I was proud I had a motorcycle. Yeah. All the guys said, man, that sure is a sharp-looking bike. Yeah, it is. I didn't tell them how bad it hurt. I'm trying to get somebody to buy it, see. I ain't going to tell nobody how bad that is to ride. I want somebody to buy it from me. Yeah. Then I'll tell them, I got you. No, I can't do that, can I? I have to tell them the truth, don't I? Oh, do I have to? Yes, I do. I want to have a pure heart. I tell them all about how hard that is. I've got a set of shocks to put on it if I can talk somebody into doing it. Brother Robert gave me those. Well, he gave them to Brother Jimmy, and Brother Jimmy gave them to me. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We got to commit our works to God. Then our thoughts will be established. I mean, they come right into line. You know, your thoughts come from the heart. Uh-oh. Well, that's where that pure heart comes from. Get your works. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And we're getting real close to the end. I know we are. I know I'm getting, because I'm running out of paper here. Ooh, glory, we can get our thoughts established. We can. We can do it. It said, get your thoughts. It didn't say ask God to do it for you. Get your thoughts established. Come on, we got to seek God with all of our heart. He said, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Well, he didn't say it quite like that, did he? How'd he say it? He said, if any seek me diligently, I will be found. Pretty easy to do. Just be diligent about it. Seek God. Seek God. Let's get our thoughts, our works established to God. Everything that we do, in everything it said give thanks. All right, let's just start giving thanks in everything we do. I want a pure heart. I want to be recognized on the day the trumpet sounded. I want to be recognized because it said in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it said we're going to be called up to meet him in the air. You know how fast the twinkling is? You know how we used to say, man, that's quicker than a New York minute. And then somebody started to say, well, that's quicker than an L.A. minute. I figured that was quicker than a New York minute. I said, what's the difference between them? He said, oh, about 2,000 miles. I don't know. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the twinkling of an eye is fast. You're not even going to, 1 minute you're going to be standing here, next minute you're going to be up there. I mean, just so fast. We can't imagine. I once had a recording system. I went and recorded a camp meeting one time. And I thought this was the coolest recording system. And, of course, back then, that's before we had CDs. And I mean, we either used reel-to-reel or we used cassette. But I had this really sharp recorder. It had a quarter-second return. So I used cassettes. I recorded this whole camp meeting with this. Had a quarter-second return. Now, I'll not miss anything. I can turn it in quarter-second. Quarter second wasn't fast enough on some of them. It just wasn't fast enough. I forgot about the leader on the end of the tape. Instead of me manually doing the first couple, I let it do it. And I'm, what's wrong with these tapes, man? I know they're just... Now that was it. And the twinkling of an eye is faster than that. Man, we're going to miss something. Somebody told me one time. I said, why? Why won't you come to Sunday school? Feller told me, he said, don't like to. Well, I'll be there at church time. I'm going to be there. I like to sleep in on Sunday morning. I'll be there at 11. All right. Just remember, rapture is in the twinkling of an eye. If it happens during Sunday school, you lost. You ain't going to go. Ain't going to be no second bus. Come on. Come on, let's all go to Sunday school. We got people that just simply refuse to come here and hear our pastor on Sunday morning. But they like coming to church. So we'll sit out here with 8, 9 people. 6 people. 10. One time we even had 16. Can you believe that? 16. 7 were visitors. 2 different families visited. That's shameful. That's shameful. We shouldn't do our pastor like that. Folks, we can't do our pastor like that. If any of you are guilty of it, I'm not trying to get on to you. Yeah, I am. I'm trying to tell you, be here. Be here for Sunday morning service. Be here for Sunday school. Don't miss Sunday school because you don't feel like getting up early. If you want me to come and wake you up, I'll come and wake you up. Just tell me. I'll get up earlier and come wake you up. It's hard for me to get up early. I'm glad I don't have to get up as early as I used to. Do you know I used to live up there in Alma, 52 miles from this place, and never missed a service. 6 months, never missed a service. 52 miles away, never missed a service that first 6 months. Now, since I moved closer, I can find all sorts of excuses for missing. Yeah. But you know, I'm not doing that to brag. I'm just saying, folks, we got to be here. We got to be here for our pastor, if for nothing else. We got to show him our support. Whew. Did I have you read any more, brother? I did. Get 1 Chronicles chapter 23. We're almost done. I didn't mean to keep you this long, but we'll be done in about 7 minutes. 6 minutes, 7 minutes, something like that. But I ran out of paper, so I quit writing it. You know, I did. I ran out of paper. We were right down there right now. I ran out of paper. And so I said, well, I'm not going to flip it over. I was trying to get it all in this one side, so I didn't get it all. So I said, well, I'm not going to flip it over. I know how I am. Y'all won't give me 2 hours, so I'll just shut up when we're done. That'll teach them. Brother, you got 2 Chronicles chapter 23?
Yes, sir.
Read verse 27 for me.
For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above.
That's the two. That's who. All the Levites. These are the priests. 20 years old and up. And tell me what they did. Go to verse 30 and tell me what they did.
To stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. And likewise at the evening.
Oh, God. Every morning and evening. They had people that was their entire job. That was what their whole existence was about. To stand in the morning and in the evening just thank and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Or just to thank and praise. You talk about getting a pure heart. You start thanking and praising the Lord all the time. When you got stinking thinking, start thanking and praising the Lord. You start getting unthankful, just start praising the Lord and then the thankfulness will come. Come on now, I'm talking about it. It's serious. It's serious. I'm serious. God inhabits the praises of His people. He does. It's Scripture. He inhabits the praises of His people. Come on now. It's serious. You're in the morning and evening. Every day. Man, they took all the priests. that were 20 years old and up, and all they did was praise God, stand and praise God and thank Him morning and evening. Think about it. I'm sure they rotated. Ooh, yeah. Man, now that's how they got the minds on the Lord. You know, people wonder sometimes why we start off with saying, Lord, is this one over here that have tears in their eyes, this one over here be shouting, this one over here be talking in tongues. People wonder about that because we're getting our minds on the Lord. We're thanking Him, we're praising Him, we're giving Him praises. And now go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, if you would. I want to find out what the results of all that was. Oh, I'm going to find out. In fact, I might even go there too, just for the fun of it, just so I can read it with you. I'll just follow you. I'm not going to read it with you. I'm going to follow you. All right, are you at chapter 5 yet?
Sir.
Well, I'm not. But we're going to get there in a minute. Woo, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I know it's here somewhere. There it is. And start with verse 13, brother, and read that to me.
Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, His mercy endures forever.
Come on now, read the rest, come on.
The house is the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud.
So think about that, people, think about that. This is the result of all that standing there praising and thanking the Lord daily, all the time. This is what happens. Man, the people, all manner of instruments, all these praise instruments, we get these praise singers up here, they get standing and praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, praising and thanking. And you know what happens? The Holy Ghost falls. It comes down right here in this house, and the whole place is filled with it. I'm going to tell you, read the next verse. Tell me what happens then.
So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud.
Think about
the glory
it.
Of the Lord filled the house of God.
Oh, it filled the whole place. When your hearts get pure, the glory of the Lord will fill the whole place. When you spend your time thanking and praising God, it'll get so much Holy Ghost in this house, we can't even preach. Now, wouldn't you rather, much rather have the Holy Ghost all over you than listen, Brother Fry? Come on now. Don't say it. Don't. Be careful. But it's true. It's true. We want a pure heart. Where is your heart? How is your heart today? We want a pure heart. You want a pure heart? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Praise. Just thank Him and praise Him. In everything give thanks. Yes, even for the persecutions we read about. Yeah, we're going to receive 100-fold in this life with persecution. Thank Him. Praise Him for it. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for counting me worthy to be persecuted for your name's sake. Thank Him for it. Man, we get in the house of the Lord, we start praising and thanking God, and the Holy Ghost gets moved. You ever notice that? It did Sunday, didn't it? You see people dancing around and moving. You see people getting in touch with the Holy Ghost. Did you see the Holy Ghost fall on this lady over here? I'm going to talk about it. There was a few people right on this side. And the Holy Ghost came down, got all over them. Got all over them. Woo! Somebody over here, Holy Ghost touched a few of them. He said, well, Brother Frank, what happened to you? Well, I just didn't have my heart just right where it should have been, huh? Because I should have been dancing with the rest of them. Come on! Yeah, Brother Frank's been on dance jig now and then. But I'm going to tell you, in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost, that's where it should be here every day, every service. Now, as we're closing, and since we don't have a piano player, and since I'm preaching to the choir anyhow, we're not going to have an altar call. But I want you to think about this one thing. When you want the Holy Ghost to move in this place, you don't want it to move just on you. You want others to have it. You want others to feel it, don't you? Start thanking Him and praising Him. Start the minute you come in the door. You can still hear what's going on in the service. You can close your eyes and start thanking God. Then it won't be long. You'll be in a place the rest of us wish we could get to. That's true. When you feel that cloud in this place, you know what that cloud they were talking about? That's the Holy Ghost. Woo, feel that cloud getting all over in here. Oh man, it gets so thick. You can't walk from that pew to that pew without jumping and shouting. Because you got feel the Holy Ghost all over in the place. See, I still know where my hanky is. God's good to me. God's good to us. Let's stand. God's good to us. I want each and every one of you to know that God's got something good for each of us. He's got something good for each of us. I'm not asking anybody here to do anything that's bad for them. I'm not going to ask anybody here to do anything that's going to hurt them. I can't see how it would hurt you. Now, if there's someone in here that's guilty of it, I'm not sure that there is. But get the word around to those that are. It's not going to hurt them to be here for Sunday school. Most people here are Sunday school teachers, and they're always here for Sunday school. But it's not going to hurt people to be here for Sunday school. It won't hurt you. I'm going to tell you what, we get as good a teaching as we do preaching on Sunday morning, sometimes better. Yeah. Be here for Sunday school, please. Everybody. Oh, it's good to see you, brother. I'm glad you're here. I so appreciate you. Yeah, brother Randy. I'm glad you're here with us tonight. Everybody. Isn't it good to be here in the house of the Lord and in the presence of the Lord? You know you can go away from here with a pure heart. You came with a pure heart, didn't you? Okay. Maybe not completely pure. Brother Fry came here. He was doing right in the sight of the Lord. I hope he was doing it with a pure heart. I hope he was doing it with a pure heart. Amaziah didn't do everything with a pure heart. We can do that. It's our choice. It's a choice we've got to make. All we have to do is offer up the thanksgiving. Offer up the... We've got lots to be thankful for. You say, oh, brother, I can't be too thankful. I just lost my job. Well, I know one brother and he ain't even got a job. Two of them, I think. Ain't even got a job. And you know what? Every time I see them, they're praising the Lord. Oh, giving him praise and thanking him for all that they do have. Woo! Isn't that something? They can do it. If they can, we can't we? Let's just give him all of our thanks. But right now, this very moment, we'll close the service just thanking the Lord and praising him. Let's do that. We'll just lift our hands, close our eyes, and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. We worship you, O God. We appreciate everything that you do in our lives. We thank you, God, for all that you've done. Help us to be thankful. Help us to be courteous to other people, O God. Help us to be able to go around this world, go around this city with a pure heart, with praise on our lips. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A Holy Ghost-filled heart is a pure heart. Keep your heart Holy Ghost-filled. Praise His wonderful name. Praise His wonderful name. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking time to listen. Thank you for being with me. I so appreciate each and every one of you tonight. You're dismissed. In the fear of the Lord. Thank you.
Scripture says that every eye will see. So how can, if a rapture happens, it's invisible. Thank you. There's something that I'm going to try to get my life. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah, I got it.
What do you want me to do?